welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Not that long ago, we were looking at the 2 weeks ago, I was talking to you about Take That. The word of the Lord from Take That, that's why I played it at the beginning there. You know, let it shine, let it shine. You remember that?
Yeah.
If you were here, if you don't, you won't remember it. Pastor Colin would say, get the tape. You don't say that anymore, do you? Listen on the internet. It doesn't sound quite so, you know, pithy, so good. We're going to go to Ephesians in a minute. So if you've got a Bible with you, you might want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. But really, the Lord is just speaking to us about taking hold of our inheritance, taking hold of our promises, yeah?
Yeah.
And last week, Nigel was reminding us that really this choice is stark.
Yes.
It's promises, blessing, or curse. And it's not just for this life, but for the life thereafter.
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking from the rich man and Lazarus, and basically saying you have a choice in this life that determines your eternal life. But as you make choices, he makes choices for today as well, and tomorrow, and the rest of your life. So we're going to look about making choices this morning. I've got a title for this morning. How impressive is that? Richard has to work one out. It's chosen, not frozen, included, not deluded, okay? Now, thank you. A round of applause for the title. See if you're still applauding at the end. Okay, well, on this long-haul flight, there's a blonde and a lawyer. And they're sitting one next to the other. And the lawyer is obviously getting a bit bored, and he turns to the blonde and says, come on, let's play a game, he said. It's a long flight, I'm bored, let's play a game. And the blonde says, no, I just want to sleep, thanks very much. And he says, no, it's a great game, it's a really good game. He says, what we do is I ask you a question, and if you can't answer it, you have to pay me £5. And then you can ask me a question, and if I can't answer it, I'll pay you £5. And she says, no, I just want to sleep, please. But he persists and he persists. And eventually he comes up with this idea. He says, well, tell you what, if you can't answer my questions, I'll give you £5. But if I can't answer your question, I'll give you £500. So the blonde sort of says, okay, I'll do it. And so he says to her, how far is it in miles from the earth to the moon? And she hands over her £5. Oh, dear, she says. And the lawyer looks smiling. And she says to him, okay, here's my question. What has three legs going up a hill and four legs coming down a hill? Well, the lawyer looks puzzled. Gets out his laptop, plugs it in because it's one of those posh seats, googles away, no clues. Gets out his mobile phone, secretly, illegally on the phone there. He's ringing his clever friends. What's got three legs going uphill? What's got four legs going downhill? No answers. Eventually, he turns to the lady and says, I'm sorry, I don't know, and hands over £500. And then the lawyer says to her, he says, so what does have three legs going uphill and four legs going down? She says, I don't know. Here's your fiver. Let's hear it for the blondes. Hallelujah. You see, you can have a different perspective. You were expecting a blonde joke and you were thinking, they're a bit offensive. I don't know whether you should be telling one of them. But it depends on your perspective and where you're coming from. But isn't that like our worldview of how God gives it to us now? You can look at it in the way the world looks at it and expect a typical blonde joke. Or you can listen and think, well, Paul's always a bit weird. It's bound to have a different step in. And come and think, right, what's going to be the key catch line in this one? But that's how it is with the world now. We can look at the world through their eyes, or we can look at the world with eyes of faith.
Yes, amen.
Okay, and we can look at our walk with God just as a struggle, or with eyes of faith.
Yeah.
We can look at our lives and sort of get a bit depressed sometimes, or we can look at them with eyes of faith.
Yes.
Okay, and that's what we're looking at. But then the problem is someone will turn to you and just say, well, you know, it's okay you saying you're healed, but look, your back still hurts, or your foot still hurts, or you're dying of whatever, you know, and they just say, you're not in faith, you're just deluded. But we're going to look at that you're not deluded, you're included.
Yeah.
All right, you're included, not deluded. And you're chosen, not frozen. Because the other thing is, when you've got the Word of God sitting in front of you, that's okay, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Okay, you've got to hear the Word, first of all. You know, sometimes people will come to me in a sort of pastoral situation, rare, because they're wise, they're going to Martin or Peter instead, but say they do. And they'll say to me, oh, you know, this is awful, and this not working. And you say, well, what did God say to you this morning? And say, oh, I didn't read my Bible this morning. Okay, well, what did God say to you this week? Oh, I didn't read my Bible this week. Well, go and read your Bible, then come back and see me. Yes. This is why nobody comes, but actually, it is the truth. You know? It is. There are times when you want to help people and pick them up and carry them and help them get into the Word. So don't take me to extremes, even if I am. Right. So, but the thing is, what you've got to do is read the Word. And when you read the Word, sometimes it's good to read the Word out loud. We did that a couple of weeks ago as well, because the Word does talk about hearing the Word. But that won't get you anywhere, really. It might make you feel good. But once you've heard the Word, you've got to believe the Word. Yes. Because if you hear it and you think, oh, that's nice, wish that was that for me, it's not going to make any difference still. But how do you know whether you believe it? You act on it. Yep, you hear it, you believe it, and you act on it. In other words, you're not some sort of frozen individual. You go out there and do something. But the reason you're not frozen is because you're chosen. Or chosen, not frozen. Included, not deluded. That's where we're going. I hope you're intrigued. I work hard on these sometimes. Basically, Kingdom Faith, we're a people of action. Yes. We believe the Word of God, so that means do something. Yes. You don't believe something and don't do anything. These stairs over here, this isn't quite as reliable as the Word of God, so if I go through them, you know, I believe they will get me up the stage without there being an accident. You know? Oh, amazing. Okay, I believe this stage is firm enough to support a great weight. Well, that piano's on it. So it's unlikely that I'm going to go through it, because that piano is incredibly heavy. Yeah, I believe in the stage. Well, I tell you, the Lord Jesus is a lot better than a stage. But some of us rely on the Lord more than we rely on a stage. We'd rather sit on a chair that we trust, or drive a car that we trust, or sleep in a bed that we trust, more than we trust the Lord. Yeah? Well, actually, that's not true anymore. We're changing that. We're going to look at the Word and realize we do believe it after all. And when we believe the Word, there's going to be a difference in our lives and a difference in the lives around us. Because the other thing is, it's not just us as an individual believing the Word, it's us collectively believing the Word. And we've got some great stuff that, you know, even just this year, if we just forget about the previous 6 months, you know, God's given us some great promises, some great words to take hold of. I mean, the original one, I think it was about the first word of the year was Martin. It was the first word of the year, wasn't it? It was Martin bringing that word from, I was going to say from Hezekiah. There's no book called Hezekiah, but from the life of Hezekiah. You know, there'd be somebody listening on the internet thinking, oh, he's heretical here. What's he got, an apocryphal book, the book of Hezekiah? But no, from the life of Hezekiah. And then as he was speaking, and I was making notes furiously, then God began to speak to me further. And so I came back the following week and sort of brought some more. And God gave us that foundational word about this year being a year where we'll reap where we haven't sown, and then the second year we'll reap from that sowing, and then from the third year we'll plant vineyards and see big fruit. Yes. That's great. Yes. But you know, if we believe it, we're going to be acting on that. Yes. Okay, now how are we acting on that? Well, God's given us other things about open house. Mm-hmm. How many of you believe that this thing about open house is God's word to the church? Yes. About half of you. Or are the rest of you just lazy? We'll try that one again. How many of you believe that this thing about open house is what God is saying to the church? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, that was much better. That was quite encouraging. But I obviously need to preach that message for another 6 weeks. How many believe? Yeah, but if you believe it, you'll be doing things. Yeah? You'll start acting upon it. And I want someone, I have asked her before. I've lost the handheld. There it is. No. On the floor. I asked Eileen if she'd just come and share. She's acted upon this word, and God has blessed her. And... well, you tell it. Otherwise, I'll start telling your story, won't I?
Well, it was a real challenge to me, this open house thing. It's okay having people you know, but having people you don't know so well is, was a bit of a challenge, let's put it that way. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I had to go and see a neighbour across the road about something. I can't remember what. And her neighbour, the one next door adjoining her, actually did rent the property. But he'd been given notice because the landlord wanted to sell the property. So I just said, well, how's Alan doing? When does he have to move? So she said, well, it's next week. Well, this was the Wednesday of the previous week. So I just found myself saying, now I had been praying to the Lord to give me opportunities, and I just found myself saying, well, do you think we ought to have a party for him? So she said, well, we could go out for lunch, couldn't we? So I said, well, why not come to my house? I could cook, and we could invite John and John next door to me across my drive, and he's got a lady friend, so we'd have to invite her or she might get jealous, you see. So we invited them. I said, well, the only time I've got free is next Wednesday night, which was a week last Wednesday. So I thought, well, I'd better ask them to come early, about 6 o'clock, because I've got to be at Lampeloo the next day. I want an early night. So I spent a really good day cooking, you know, got my cookery books out and really got into it. I thought, oh, I like this. Made some lovely pudding. I've got the recipe if you want it. It includes chocolate and cream and eggs. And yeah, it's very nice. Not very good for weight, but anyway. So I thought, if they come at 6, and they came. And we had the most brilliant night. It was absolutely fantastic. I had prayed before they came that I would have opportunities to speak about the Lord, and he just said, say grace. So as we started the meal, I said, would you mind if I said grace? Oh, no, no, no. People don't mind, you see. So I just prayed a blessing over each one of them and thanked God for good neighbours and that we'd have a good night. And we did. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. It really was. I actually went to bed at 1:30 in the morning. So I wasn't fit for Lampeloo the next day. I thought, well, that's it. You know, I've done what Pastor Paul said, and I've done what the Lord's led me into. But, you know, I'm just waiting for more opportunities now, because God really opened the door. And it's actually putting your trust in him, being willing, but putting your trust in him, because he does want to introduce us to people. And but the other thing was, I was walking down the street on Monday last week, and I met a neighbour at the end of the road, and we were chatting, and he said, he had a good night last Wednesday. And he said, and Alan, the guy who was leaving, had spoken to him and said he'd never had such a good night in all his life. So I thought, well, praise God. So, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You see, you act on God's word, and God's word is very practical. You know, sometimes we think, oh, to be spiritual, I've got to go and, you know, pray lots more or worship lots more. You know, yes, we need to be worshiping the Lord, and yes, we need to be reading the word. I've already touched on that. But if we're really living the word, it's having contact with people. And it's meeting people. Jesus was found at some of the grotty holes of where he lived. You know, he had a reputation for hanging out with tax collectors, which, you know, that was awful. Nowadays, of course, we love tax collectors. But, and he hung out with prostitutes, and he was accused of drinking too much wine and stuff like that. You know, because people saw him in the wrong places. And the message is, they're not the wrong places. We go in to take the light in. Yes. Or we invite them into our own homes.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's all about being much more open and opening our houses. So we've got that. What else have we had recently? I know, life is not a dragon boat ride on Pizone Park. That was... You may not remember that one, but it was about walking on the water or walking through the water. Life's an adventure, okay? It's not just a little dragon boat ride on Pizone Park. That was the whole thing of it, do you remember? Let's go through it, let's go over it, let's fly over it, but let's do something, okay? Not just paddle around thinking, oh, isn't the weather lovely? Or maybe in Scarborough not. But, no, actually scrub that, wipe that bit out. We don't let on that it's... it's glorious. Anyway, we had ships, stories, and... can't remember what the third one was. Steps. Ships, stories, and steps. Making friendships, finding out people's stories, and finding what the next steps were in the Holy Spirit. That's what you do when you're inviting people in. You're developing friendships, you're finding out their stories, not just trying to get them saved, you know, and then running 100 miles because you're a bit weird. Finding out their stories, and then listening to the Holy Spirit, what's the next step? That's just what you did. You said, what do I do tonight, Lord? And he said, say grace. That's enough to open a door. Okay, I'm not saying that's where you leave them forever, but you go at the pace of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that might be at the pace of a Harley Davidson, and sometimes it might just be very slow. So I can't give you a rule. There isn't one. It's called life. There's no rule for life. You never quite know what's going to happen. You never quite know how that child's going to grow up, or what they're going to do, or how they're going to be. It's life. It's fun. It's an adventure. Anyway, that was another one. And then, of course, we had Take That. Let it shine, let it shine. Don't be so hard on yourself, it's only bad for your health, it said in the song. Do you remember? Don't let your demons get you down. Let it shine, let it shine. Okay, but, so for a bit of fun, what we're going to do in weeks coming on, I'm going to use that song at the beginning of every service just to let you know we're going to start. Because you lot, you're so friendly. Sometimes I stand up and say, excuse me, oh, do you mind? Could we start? No? Okay. At least it feels like that. So we'll play that song for a little while, because we'll get fed up with it after a little while. Maybe you are already, but bless you. But we'll play that song for a little while just to say, right, the service is starting. And we probably won't get through the whole lot, but you can come in and you can... I quite like the fact that some of you were beginning to dance and move around. It gives a bit of a buzz. That's cool. Anyway, I haven't got to the message for today, and I've been speaking 15 minutes, so... We're still on the joke and introduction here. The other key word I think that God has given us this year is a word that we all know really, really well. The word that said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, remember? And we discover that it doesn't just mean you're free to jump and dance around. It wasn't what really Paul was talking about at all. He was talking to a group of people who were getting into a previous revelation. Which was circumcision and following the law. And God was saying, look, don't go backwards and look at what you had. Walk in what I'm giving you now, because this is freedom. Yeah. And obviously, when you're living in freedom, you demonstrate that freedom by a freedom to raise your hands and dance and enjoy worship. But you demonstrate that freedom by walking across the water. You demonstrate that freedom by inviting people into your home. You demonstrate that freedom by reading the Word of God. You know, you demonstrate that freedom by overcoming your feelings. Yes. But what about... chosen, not frozen, included, not deluded. Well, we're going to have to look at Ephesians here. And so here we go. Let's go from chapter 1. Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
I was reading it a bit quick, but you know, we need to agree with the word when something we read is you sort of think, because when you say amen or yes or cool or even wicked, which would be a bit unusual, but you're agreeing with the word. Yeah? Kate was saying she was with the ladies on Saturday and just talking about prayer and something, and she said, the Holy Spirit is not precious. And then she suddenly realized that was, in the original sense of the word precious, that was terrible. Of course the Holy Spirit is precious. You know, but she meant he's not precious, he's not skittish, he doesn't get upset just because you're learning, sort of thing. I love the way language changes. So, you know, when I cry out something good from the word and you cry out, wicked, or I can't remember what's the latest now. Well, bad, or whatever. There's another one. Oh, sick. Yeah. I think that's even worse, isn't it? You know, praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Sick. I mean, but language changes. It's what's in the heart.
Yes.
Yeah? Don't look so horrified, Joyce. That's not a personal expression of mine. She's looking like I haven't recycled my rubbish or something. No. Every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
Every single jolly one.
Yes.
Not just that. Well done, Anne. Every spiritual blessing. For he chose us.
Yes.
Oh, we know this, but suddenly every now and then the revelation comes. Kate, you're chosen.
Yes.
God, you didn't just happen to hear the gospel message sometime and think, oh, I'll have a response. God chose you.
Yes.
You know, Joan there, she was chosen before she was born.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes people think they choose God, you know, in a meeting. You know, it's always like this, isn't it? Amazing grace. You know, oh, I've chosen Jesus. No, Jesus eyeballed them and said, come.
Yes.
We're chosen.
Yes.
You're not here by mistake.
Yes.
Let's have a look around this room. Everybody in this room, you're chosen to be part of what God is doing in our time.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you know, you're chosen to be part of what's happening here.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. That means God's got a plan.
Yes.
Yeah? We're not just here hoping God's going to do something. We're not here every week saying, God, do something in Scarborough. You've got to do something in Scarborough. Have you remembered it exists? You know? He's chosen us. He's chosen Scarborough to do something in Scarborough, a revival that breaks out, touches Scarborough, Yorkshire, and the nation.
Yes.
Amen. People are going to hear about this town, not just because it's got lovely beaches and donkeys, because of the move of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, there's believers in this place. Hey, sound men, are you agreement? We've got revival. Sound men are awake. Hallelujah. Right, let's read on. Read on. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world. Not just because you responded. Before everything existed. Before everything existed, he knew that Claire was going to be around in Scarborough at this time. He didn't have Claire here and think, oh, goodness, she knows me. What should we do with her? Must be something. There's that Martin guy. He's quite nice. What do you reckon, Jesus? Get them hooked together? That'll keep them occupied by a while. Then we'll have to think something else for them to do. You know, it doesn't work like that. But you're probably not surprised to hear that. I'm preaching revelation here. You know, every single... Just look at the other people in this room. Every single person is chosen to be here. Every single person's got the call of God on their life. Now, Bill and Jamala have got a work to do in Bridlington.
Amen.
You know, they're the light in Bridlington.
Yes.
Amen. God's got them here to do something special through them that nobody else can do.
Yes.
If they were to get upset with me picking on them in this morning service and leave, there would be a loss in this church.
Yes.
Of them and their family. And it could be that God will call someone and the work would carry on, but the uniqueness of what they would have done will never happen.
Yes.
That's quite scary. Anyway, moving on, before they do get upset with me. And what did he choose us to be before the creation of the world? Holy and blameless.
Yes.
Not miserable, rotten sinners, but holy and blameless.
Yes.
Turn to the person next to you and say, you are one holy dude.
You are one holy dude.
You're getting the turn next to one another this morning. This must be kingdom faith. Holy and blameless in his sight. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are blameless.
You are blameless.
And... wives, I want you to look at husbands. I don't dare say that. You are blameless. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons. You know, you're not even just chosen. You're part of the family. We're in the family of God. That's why it's our inheritance. You know what God's been saying about our inheritance? This is why it is. We're sons. In accordance with his pleasure.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people have this picture, I reckon, of God in heaven thinking, oh, well, it's my divine job. Looks like they could be a bit religious. I'll have to choose them. Oh, there's John there. Yeah. Oh, well, I'll choose him. Come on. I've got something for him to do. You know, he's got his eye on him before he's saved. He's thinking, that guy's cool. I don't know if God actually says that. You know, maybe God says that guy's sick, but I doubt it. In the modern sense of the word. I'm probably using it wrong anyway. Anyway, he says that guy's fantastic. That guy's awesome. That guy's going to be in my kingdom. That guy's going to be my son.
Yes,
and he takes great pleasure in it.
You know,
God's in heaven going, he's my son. Yeah? When in that take that song, isn't there a line that says, you're all that matters to me? God will sing that over you.
Yes,
it says in Zephaniah 3:17 that God rejoices over us with dancing and singing.
Yes.
I don't know if the Zephaniah was thinking of take that at the time. But he might have been. Because he knew take that were coming. I think that's very dodgy. Anyway. Chosen to be sons. No accident. No accident that we're all here, chosen to be one family. No accident that God is calling us to open our homes to one another and the community. No accident that God, when we do that, that people are going to get saved. It's no accident that this church is growing in number and more people are coming. It's no accident that a revival might break out here just because we prayed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray and God is calling us to pray, but God's doing it.
Yes.
And we pray really just to be in on the action.
Yes.
You know? It's like that Harley Davidson thing again. You know, I'm holding on to the back, and maybe my legs are out horizontal, but I'm going to hold on because God's on the move, and he's not strolling through Galilee in a long white frock and flip flops. You know, he's on that Harley Davidson and he's moving.
Yes.
And he's saying, come on, church, get on your bike.
Yes.
Or just grab on the back.
Yes.
It's time to go. It's time for action.
Yes.
We're chosen, not frozen. Because if you believe all this, you do something.
Yes.
You can't have all this richness of, I'm chosen, I'm a son of God, I'm predestined. He's got a call on my life. I have a destiny. I'm going to make a difference. And then just brush your teeth, watch telly and go to bed. If that's all you do, you just live a normal life with all the other extras around brushing teeth, then you don't really believe. That went down well. In him, we have redemption through the blood.
Yes.
Redemption, you've been bought. That's why the devil can't have you back. The price has been paid.
Yes.
And it was very expensive.
Yes.
It was the life of the Son of God. You are precious.
Yes.
Take that however you like. You are precious. For redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It wasn't just enough to pay for your sins. There was more, abundantly enough.
Yes.
Your sins are like this bit, and the abundance of grace fills this hall.
Yes.
And more. Your sins are just so insignificant compared to the grace of God. Yeah? They're paid for.
Amen.
You haven't got to keep carrying them and picking them back up again. Or you think, oh God, yeah, I did do that. I could, you know, we're to run into the throne room to see the Father.
Yes.
Amen? Yes, he's awesome. He's almighty. He's glorious. And we can go on our faces before him, but he's also our Father.
Yes. Yes.
And he's excited about us. And it says that he saved us because for his pleasure.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people say God doesn't need you. And you know where they're going. But I don't think God feels like that, really. You know, I think there's love and passion in his heart for every one of his children and everyone who's saved and not saved.
Yes.
God loves the world.
Yes.
God so loved the world that he gave his son.
Yes.
You know, not because God had a divine job to get it sorted, so he gave his only son. He loves the world.
Yes.
Yeah? And so he did something.
Yes.
There's a passion, an emotion
yes.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Anyway. where am I? He lavished on us with all wisdom. It wasn't a mistake.
Yes.
God didn't make a boob by giving you everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you can feel like, well, God was a bit silly, really, giving me every spiritual blessing. God's a bit daft making available to me all the power of the Holy Spirit. You mean, so I mean, if I took that seriously, I could see people raised from the dead.
Yes.
And I could see miracles happen, and I could see people come to the Lord because I'd preach the gospel with power. You know, a bit silly that, really. No, he lavished all this on us with great wisdom.
Yes.
And then it says, and understanding. He knew what he was doing.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
When he gave Caleb everything, he wasn't making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Even if you do like Tangerine Dream, it still wasn't a mistake. Anyway, back to the Word of God. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good purposes, his good pleasure, there it is again, which he purposed in Christ. So, down to verse 11. In him we were also, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Yet we were chosen to fit in with what he's doing.
Yes.
We were chosen and a key part of the plan. Without you, it's like a jigsaw with a piece missing. You can still see the picture, but it's not as good as when the bit's there. You have a key role and a key purpose in the kingdom. And a key role and a key purpose, if you're part of this church, in this church.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And most of us aren't just one piece of a jigsaw. We're bigger bits.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big hole when you take anybody out. Sometimes you don't feel it, you know. But that's another reason, the other side of open house, if you remember, is the whole concept of everybody bringing something. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 14:26? Yeah? Everybody bringing something to the meeting. Everybody being prepared. Everybody having a word or a scripture or a song or something else. And there's that concept. Why? Because every person is important.
Yeah.
It's not just Nigel up the front here or me up the front here or Martin up the front here or whoever speaking. It's not like, let's get the word, remember? It's Everybody should be coming. And when the person speaks, you're saying, yeah, that's what God is saying to me. Amen. And we're talking about what God's saying to one another. And we've got the open mic when we've got the stand that means you can contribute to the morning service. Or God encounter, there's just a mic there to go forward and say whatever God is saying.
Right.
Here we do have, because it's bigger and everything, you come and share it with the leadership on the front. But otherwise, it's just, it's open. But then in our homes, it's even more exciting. Because you can, when you get together, then you really have got the opportunity to say, well, this is what God's saying to me. You know, you might, let's get together, a few of us in our home, and then you say, oh, Dennis, when you come this week, can you just bring a 5-minute word? You know, not a long one, because you don't want lots and lots of preaching in those kinds. Can you just bring a 5-minute word from something? Just share what God's doing in your life. Something like that. It's just an example of the spiritual bit, alongside the chocolate fountains and the... And the walks on the beach and the going bowling or whatever. Although I'm told the bowling thing at, what's it called? It's gone. Fantasy Forest is a little dodgy. In other words, it sort of bounces all over the place. Not dodgy as in crooked. So that's that English language thing again there, isn't it? So you're, and then, okay, so we got this. In him you were chosen. And if you're chosen, you're not frozen. Because if you know you're chosen, you do something. But then jump on to verse 13, and you were also included. Yes. You're included. Yes. Nobody gets missed out. Ben, you're included.
Yes.
Mark, you're included. You're included in this plan.
Yes.
Okay, you're included in the promises of God. Because people might say to you, you know, you're sick, and you say you're healed.
Yes.
You're deluded. And you say, no, I'm sick. The word of God says I'm healed, and I know the truth can change what I feel. I know the truth will change the reality, if you like, of what my body's saying. The truth is stronger than what's real.
Yes.
You're not deluded, you're included.
Yes.
And then you're included in the promises of God. So if you're struggling financially, that's just not what God's word says. He talks about blessing and prosperity. Look at Abraham, he was one rich guy, you know. But he wants to bless us so that we can give into the kingdom. But if you believe this kind of thing, you act on it. You know, in Malachi, it says that God challenges his people to say, look, come and bring your offerings into the storehouse. In a modern parlance, if you like, pay your tithe into the church, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing upon you.
Yes.
Amen. So if you believe that God wants to bless you, what do? You're giving. You're giving, and you're tithing, because you think, right, well, I'll give away, and God's just going to bless me all the more.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is what we do. We hear the word, we believe the word, so we have to act on it. Yeah, praise God. And I'm not picking on anybody saying you're not giving. I'm just using that as a very easy example. Eh? What you give is between you and God. And Richard will tell you, I have no idea who gives what, because I won't look at that area of the accounts, even though I'm legally liable. But never mind. I don't want to know what individuals give. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth. The gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It's like God goes, stamp your mind. Stamp your mind. And if you look carefully on your body somewhere, you'll see it. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yes.
You're chosen, not frozen. What are you laughing at, Jackie? The mark of the spirit. I found a 666. Is that any problem? Oh, now it's 999. Call him in emergency. You were standing on your hands. This is not a time to be indecisive. We're not waiting around expecting that God was going to do something. God send revival. And that's all we're doing. We've got to be out there doing something. Yeah? We're chosen, not frozen.
Yeah.
You got that one?
Yeah.
And we're included, not deluded. We're a part of the body. Each one has a purpose. Each one is essential to the body. And each one receives the full inheritance of Christ because you're included. And you're not deluded because your body or somebody else says something different. Remember, hear the word of God. If you believe the word of God, you act upon the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? It's a choice. That's where I started. I haven't mentioned it that much. How do you take hold of the Word of God? How do you believe it? You just choose to.
Yes.
Sometimes the Word of God, your life or other people or circumstances are going, screaming at you, and you're just going, Christ is my Saviour. Sometimes it's a bit like that, but you choose to ignore that and stand on the Word, and the Word ensures that that screaming will stop, be silenced, and your life be changed. Amen? Amen? I know it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's lives. It's in the Word. What more do you want? It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Amen? Just choose it. Choose it or lose it. That's a bad one. If you hold to my teaching, this is Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen. Amen. You will know the truth and the truth will set you
free.
Amen. Who's here? Who's ready to be free?
Yes.
Okay. Right, we need to respond to this word. So let's stand up. And we're going to respond. If you need, if you're in financial need, or you know you've got sickness, or you know people that have, we're going to speak the word now and take hold of it. I've not got the Promised Bible this week, so I'll just use the ordinary one. There's still an awful lot of promises in here. Okay, but I'll read it in a way that we can personally identify with it. Okay, I'm not altering the word of God. I'm just taking hold of it for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's good then. Okay. So you can repeat after me again. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has blessed me.
He has blessed me.
In the heavenly realms.
In the heavenly realms.
With every spiritual blessing in Christ.
With every spiritual blessing in Christ.
For my Father has chosen me.
For my Father has chosen me.
He chose me before the creation of the world.
He chose me before the creation of the world.
To be holy and blameless. In love he adopted me.
In love he adopted me.
To the praise of his glorious grace.
To the praise of his glorious grace.
I am his son in accordance with his pleasure and will. Or daughter.
I am his son in accordance with his pleasure and his will.
In him I am redeemed.
In him I am redeemed.
In him I am forgiven.
In him I am forgiven.
According to the riches of God's grace.
According to
that he's lavished on me. In him I am chosen.
In him I am chosen.
I have a destiny in him.
I have a destiny in him.
God's got it all sussed.
God's got it all sussed.
I am included in Christ.
I am included in Christ.
Because I heard the word of truth. I heard the gospel of salvation.
I heard the gospel of salvation.
And I believed.
And I believed.
And because I believed.
And because I believed.
God has stamped me with the Holy Spirit.
God has stamped me with the Holy Spirit.
Which guarantees my inheritance.
Which guarantees my inheritance.
It says this stamp.
It says this stamp.
That I belong to God.
That I belong to God.
To the praise of his glory.
To the praise of his glory.
Amen.
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 Well, there's one last thing to do. It's to worship the Lord with our offering and our tithes. Amen. If you're a visitor this morning, don't feel you have to put anything in. You're just welcome to if you wish to. But everybody else, activate your faith.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. And don't, somebody said to me the other week, oh, sometimes I feel bad. You know, if you pay monthly or direct debit, of course you don't put anything in the bucket. And Richard will talk to you very strongly about, he likes direct debits. He's always going on to me about it. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, shall we? And let's take up the offering.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.